Good evening, this is The Synthetic Lens, I'm David Carver. This is a trial watch special from Musk vs. OpenAI in Oakland. First, the evidence note. At our 5 p.m. Pacific check, we actively searched the official Northern District of California case page, Judge Yvonne Gonzalez-Rogers calendar, court listener and recap, direct recap storage, pacer adjacent public pages, gov info and targeted transcript minute entry exhibit order and ruling searches. We found no new public trial transcript, no May 6th or May 7th minute packet, no doc 527 and no new order or ruling after the already known Doc 526 and its trial sheet attachment. So tonight is not a transcript episode. It is a carefully attributed courtroom reporting update built from TechCrunch, ABC7 and AP, CNBC, The Verge, NBC Bay Area Live Notes, local news matters, and related courtroom coverage. Marcus Chan is here on Technology and Power. Stan Rogers is here for Legal Guardrails. Marcus, today the center of gravity shifted again.
It did. The early trial was about Musk's founding story. Then it became about Greg Brockman, money, control, Mars, and Siobhan Zillis as the connective tissue between Musk's camp and OpenAI's board history. Today, the story tightened around something narrower and maybe more important, safety process and nonprofit control. TechCrunch put it bluntly, Musk's lawsuit is putting OpenAI's safety record under the microscope. In court Thursday, according to TechCrunch, former OpenAI employee Rosie Campbell testified that OpenAI had become more product-focused over time, and that safety-oriented teams like AGI Readiness and Super Alignment had been disbanded or weakened.
Let's start with Campbell, because her testimony sounds like the cleanest safety process thread. What did she say, and what should listeners not overread?
According to TechCrunch, Campbell joined OpenAI's AGI readiness team in 2021 and left in 2024 after that team was disbanded. She testified, "When I joined, it was very research-focused and common for people to talk about AGI and safety issues. Over time, it became more like a product-focused organization." She also pointed to an incident where Microsoft deployed a version of GPT-4 through Bing in India before the model had been evaluated by OpenAI's Deployment Safety Board. Campbell reportedly said the model itself did not present a huge risk, but that the process mattered because OpenAI needed strong precedents as the technology became more powerful.
The caveat is important. Campbell was not a board member. She was not the CEO. And under cross-examination, according to TechCrunch and NBC's Live Notes, she acknowledged that major funding was likely necessary to build AGI and that she did not know everything about OpenAI's current safety practices or other companies' safety systems. She also reportedly acknowledged that, in her speculative opinion, OpenAI's safety approach was superior to xAI's. That matters because Musk is asking jurors to believe OpenAI abandoned its mission, while he also runs a direct competitor in the same space.
So this isn't OpenAI had no safety process. It's more precise than that.
Exactly. The careful version is, jurors heard testimony that OpenAI's internal safety review processes and long-term safety teams were under pressure as the company became more product-oriented. That supports Musk's mission drift theory. But it does not, by itself, prove a legal breach or prove OpenAI is unsafe. It is evidence in a broader fight over nonprofit mission, for-profit pressure, and who had the authority to decide when product speed overran process.
Then the jury heard from Tasha McCauley by video deposition. Marcus, remind listeners who she is.
McCauley was an OpenAI board member during the 2023 crisis when Sam Altman was fired and then reinstated. According to The Verge and NBC Bay Area's Live Notes, her deposition went directly at board oversight and Altman's candor. The Verge quoted McCauley saying, "Because of this pattern of lying, people in the company were copying that behavior, and there was a culture of lying and a culture of deceit." TechCrunch reported that McCauley told the court the nonprofit board's mandate was to oversee the for-profit underneath it, and that the board did not have a high degree of confidence that information being conveyed allowed it to make informed decisions.
Again, attribution matters. We are not seeing a court found that Altman lied. We are seeing McCauley testified, according to these reports, that the board had concerns about candor, conflicts, and oversight. That is legally relevant because OpenAI's structure depends on a nonprofit board supervising a for-profit engine. If the board cannot trust the information coming up from the CEO, Musk's side can argue the nonprofit control mechanism was not functioning.
This connects to the 2023 firing, the weekend when Altman was removed, Muradi became interim CEO, then Altman came back and most of the board was gone.
Right. The Verge's May 7th article on Muradi's deposition says, "Trial exhibits and testimony are now giving the public a more concrete look at that weekend." The Verge reports that former board member Helen Toner testified that concerns from Muradi and Ilya Sutskever materially advanced board concerns about alleged deceit, resistance to board oversight, manipulation of board processes, and management problems. The Verge also linked to document cloud exhibits, including a board document terminating Altman, Muradi and Altman text messages, Muradi and Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella text messages, and the employee letter threatening departures to Microsoft.
We tried to capture those documents directly.
We did. Document Cloud metadata pages were accessible, but direct PDF downloads and text search were blocked for us during this run. So the responsible phrasing is, The Verge reported and linked these exhibits. We did not independently download the underlying PDFs. That is good enough for a sourced newsroom update, not for treating exhibit text as our own primary capture.
What did those reported exhibits add?
The Verge reports Muradi texted Altman during the crisis that things were directionally very bad. Sam, this is very bad. It also reports she told Altman the board had walked her through the reasons and issues why he could not be CEO and that she referred to Emmett Shear as new guy is rando Twitch guy. The point is not just soap opera. The point is that OpenAI's nonprofit control layer was in a crisis. The board had removed the CEO, employees threatened to leave, Microsoft was in the middle of the emergency, and the people trying to preserve mission control were also trying to prevent the company from imploding.
Which is exactly where the legal case gets hard. If the board fired Altman because it believed it could no longer supervise him, that supports Musk's broader claim that governance mattered and may have failed. But if the firing nearly destroyed the company and forced a reversal, OpenAI can argue the board's actions themselves threaten the mission. Both sides can use the same weekend as evidence.
Then came David Schizer, Musk's nonprofit governance expert. Stan, frame him.
Schizer is a Columbia law professor and former dean, testifying as an expert for Musk. He is not the judge. He is not neutral in the sense of being court appointed. TechCrunch says he is being paid by Musk's team. And The Verge noted OpenAI challenged him on his rate and expertise. That caveat should be attached to every strong claim from him.
But his testimony gives Musk's side a clean legal vocabulary. According to NBC Bay Area's Live Notes, Schizer walked the jury through nonprofit versus for-profit duties, fiduciary duties of loyalty, obedience, and care, and the conditions under which a nonprofit can have a for-profit affiliate. According to TechCrunch, he said OpenAI emphasizes that safety is part of its mission and that safety rules need to be taken seriously. His quote was, "What matters is the process issue."
And that's the key phrase of the day, process issue. This trial is not supposed to become a referendum on whether AI will destroy humanity. Judge Gonzales-Hodges has already warned the lawyers away from that. But process, whether a nonprofit board can enforce safety review, whether conflicts are disclosed, whether the CEO is candid, whether Microsoft-scale capital distorts the mission, process is squarely in the governance lane.
NBC's Live Notes also had Schizer on the money structure.
Yes. NBC reported Schizer discussed Microsoft contributions, target redemption amounts, and the way investor-style return expectations could shrink what eventually flows back to the nonprofit. NBC's notes say he was asked how much profit would be needed to cover the target redemption amounts, and the answer was $275 billion. We should handle that carefully because we do not have the transcript or the underlying model, but the point is clear. Musk's side is trying to show the nonprofit residual could become theoretical if the for-profit engine owes enormous priority returns before the nonprofit sees the upside.
That's a strong argument, but not a finding. OpenAI's lawyers can respond that complex financing was necessary to fund Frontier AI, that the nonprofit retained formal control, and that investor returns do not automatically equal mission betrayal. The jury has to decide whether the structure preserved the mission or hollowed it out.
We also need balance from Zillis's cross-examination because OpenAI's defense got important material there.
Definitely. ABC7 reported that OpenAI's lawyer, Sarah Eddy, got Zillis to concede she did not know of any promise to keep OpenAI permanently nonprofit or not to establish a for-profit subsidiary. ABC7 also reported that Zillis, as an OpenAI board member, voted to approve the 2023 Microsoft agreement. And CNBC reported that Zillis testified OpenAI's structure was debated ad nauseum, that Musk wanted OpenAI to join Tesla and offer Altman a Tesla board seat, and that texts and emails show Musk working to recruit top OpenAI talent toward Tesla.
That is the defense's best antidote to a simple mission betrayal story. OpenAI can say, Musk was not surprised by commercialization. He explored it. He did not object to for-profit forms in principle. He objected when he could not control them. Zillis' testimony, as reported by ABC7 and CNBC, gives OpenAI a way to argue Musk knew about the for-profit path, considered investing, and was, quote-unquote, supportive in spirit after declining. That does not defeat Musk's case by itself, but it complicates his cleanest narrative.
So on one side, witnesses are putting safety process and board control under pressure. On the other, OpenAI is showing Musk was part of the very commercialization conversation he now attacks.
Exactly. That's why today is not a bombshell in the simplistic sense. It's a convergence. Campbell says safety teams and process were being squeezed. McCauley says board oversight depended on candor she did not trust. Moradi and Toner, through The Verge's reporting, put the 2023 firing crisis into documentary detail. Shizen gives Musk's side the nonprofit governance frame. And Zillis gives OpenAI the counterframe. Musk knew the company needed capital and explored for-profit or Tesla-linked paths himself.
The jury is being asked to separate mission from control. If OpenAI's mission required enormous capital, did creating a for-profit subsidiary preserve the mission or betray it? If Musk demanded control, was he protecting the mission or trying to command it? If the board fired Altman over oversight concerns and then reversed under employee and Microsoft pressure, was that responsible crisis management or proof that the nonprofit board could not actually control the for-profit company?
What should listeners watch next?
First, the primary record. We still need May 6th and May 7th minute entries, trial sheets, transcripts, or exhibit packets. If those appear, they may sharpen or correct the reported accounts. Second, Microsoft. The Verge says Satya Nadella is scheduled for Monday, May 11th, with Ilya Sutskever expected after that. If Nadella testifies, the jury may finally hear directly about Microsoft's role during the 2023 crisis and the commercial structure. Third, Altman himself. If the last two A's have put his candor and board relationship into the record, his testimony becomes more consequential.
And watch the safety frame. The judge does not want an AI apocalypse trial. But the witnesses are turning safety into a governance question. Not, will AGI kill us, but who enforces safety when the company needs hundreds of billions of dollars? That's the narrower version that can fit inside a courtroom.
Here's the lens. The Musk versus OpenAI trial has moved beyond the origin myth. It is now testing the machinery, safety review, board candor, Microsoft pressure, paid expert theories, investor return waterfalls, Musk's own for-profit explorations. The question is no longer just whether OpenAI changed. Of course it changed. The question is whether the nonprofit promise still had teeth once the product machine, the capital machine, and the boardroom crisis all started pulling in different directions. We'll keep watching the docket. If the court posts transcripts, minutes, exhibits, or a new order, we'll come back to the primary record. For tonight, based on careful courtroom reporting, Day 8's message is this. Safety and mission are no longer background ideals in this case. They are now process questions, board questions, and money questions, and the jury has to decide whether OpenAI's structure answered them or buried them. I'm David Carver. Stay critical.